This fall, we've been talking about making room. This Advent, we've been talking in here about making room for the coming of Christ. And today, we are specifically talking about, or this the theme of the service is about making room for the wonder of Christ's birth. Michael's piece that we just presented in worship so beautifully captures that sense of wonder. Thank you, Michael, for serving us with this beautiful offering of worship. Such a sense of wonder. Wonder and joy. Those words have guided my selection of the music for this service from Mozart's jovial, joyful Jupiter Symphony, which we are using as prelude and postlude, to Michael's piece, to the children's beautiful introit, to the piece that we are now about to present as our offering of worship, if you will, a sermon in music, which is exactly how Mendelssohn, in the tradition of Bach, understood a cantata to be. It's a sermon in music. It is based on a hymn tune composed by none other than Martin Luther himself. In the year 1535, Martin Luther wrote this hymn probably for a children's Christmas pageant. They had those back then in Lutheran Germany. And so he probably wrote it for that. 300 years later, a friend gave a copy of that to the young 21-year-old Felix Mendelssohn, who then embarked on a two-year grand tour, spending considerable time in Italy, where he wrote his Italian symphony, and where he visited the monastery where Luther had stayed on his visit to Rome, which so filled him with horror that he went back and wrote the 95 Theses, which sparked the Reformation. So he visited there, and he was just enthralled with this hymn tune. So Mendelssohn decided to write a cantata on it. So the tune is actually in our hymnal. From heaven above to earth I come, to bring good news to everyone. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to all the world and gladly sing. So that's the tune, and you will hear this repeatedly throughout the music that we sing and play for you as in our presentation of these words. So I have to say that the reason I picked this piece was really just for the first page in the orchestral score, because it's so glorious. You hear the shimmer of the angel wings, the bright flute and the strings descending from heaven, and then the earth is just filled with the glory of the angels as they proclaim the good news. You will hear the shimmering wings in the music, and you will hear the herald trumpets and drums as they proclaim this glorious good news to the astonished shepherds. So if we could just pivot for a second, I'd like to think a little bit about the spiritual dimension of this. I have to say that, being handed the topic, making room for the wonder of Christ's birth, was pretty daunting. I mean, it's easy when you're a child, right? Last night, the kids decorated the Christmas tree, and it was so natural to see, for them to have that wonder in their eyes. But what happens to us when we get older? We get jaded, we get cynical, we get attached to things, we get used to the story. And it's very interesting, one of the biggest commonplaces of every Christmas sermon is that Jesus did not come to the powerful. He came to the powerless. He did not send the angel Gabriel to Herod, who's sitting on his throne, clutching his scepter and crown. He did come to kind of an important priest, Zechariah, and that did not go well at first. Remember, Zechariah was struck dumb for 9 months. But when he came to a teenage girl who had no earthly power, no earthly significance, what does she say? May it be to me according to your word. And I love the part that Helen read where she then goes on to say, the scriptures say, and she treasured these things in her heart. She marveled at what could this mean? Later, when the angels come to the shepherds, again, it's amazement. So what is it that holds us back from being open to the wonder of Christmas. I think that it has to do with that Philippians text that we just read earlier, that wonderful line, "He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant." And that idea of grasping is really important because don't we all grasp? We have our hopes and fears. We have our longings and our dreads. We have our favorite sins. We have those really good goals that we really want to accomplish, that person in our life who drives us crazy. There's the thing that keeps us awake at 3 a.m. And although Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, we do every day. We somehow think that we can control our own lives, that we are somehow able to do it. So, this is the way of Jesus. It's for us to let go. It's to make ourselves nothing. It's to relax. Let God be God in us. Be open-handed and open-hearted so that there is room for us to receive the wonder of Christmas. So in just a moment, we're going to have a moment of silence, and I would like to invite you to do something that we've done in this church a few times before, which is I'd like you to think about that thing, that grudge, that sin, that really good goal that's just killing you because it's so hard to accomplish. I would like you to just think about that and just, in a moment of silent prayer, release that to the Lord. And then turn your hands up and be ready to receive. And after a moment of silence, we'll start the music. I would ask you to hold your applause until the very end of the postlude to express your appreciation to the musicians. Such a joy to work with them. Let's take a moment to pray now.